The Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn number 99. Blessed Jesus, thee we sing, thou of life the eternal spring, thou art worthy, thou alone, thou the rock and cornerstone. Hymn number 99.
Let us read the Word of God in the book of Job, chapter 23, and also reading in the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. We were listening in on Friday night, friends, and felt favoured much in hearing the ministry of the Word by our dear friend. And so one has felt exercised since David asked me to come tonight that we might read this chapter, as it was, of course, the third verse, what was the text. Job 23. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me? Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone backward, back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence, when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. Let us also read in the Epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the first epistle, chapter 2. The first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God, which with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor of guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labour and travail, for labouring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto you, unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavouring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word, and may he grant us prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God Almighty, we beg of thee, do grant us now a breath of real prayer. May we know that blessed indicting of the Spirit, that we may come before thee, Lord, with our confessions and our pleadings, and also we may have praise in our prayers, thankfulness to thee, Lord our God, who has not cut us off and cast us away, who hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. O Lord, thou art merciful and gracious, hast wonderfully been so, and favoured us, Lord. Lord, as we've been trying to consider today with the friends of Ashwell, in that way of thy word, my meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. May we know something of this in this evening hour, Lord, of blessed favour of considering thee, meditating upon thee, thee our God, thee who we've read of, Lord. He knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. O Lord, may there be many precious souls here thinking and feeling it. He knoweth the way that I take. Lord, thou knoweth the way for each one, what is appointed for each one of us. Lord, in all thy holy sovereign will, oh, may we be able to say, he is though I am blind. Too wise to be mistaken, he. Too wise to be mistaken still, too good to be unkind. Lord, there are those of us who look back many, many years, when thou didst first begin with us. And Lord, thou knowest we stand amazed at thy goodness. We bless thee, our God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for what thou hast been to us. And Lord, as we come to this season of the year, and that which we were trying to consider today, a meditation of thee, oh, of how thou didst come, Lord, the Son of God. Oh, come to this earth, and Lord, at this time we are coming toward the time of remembering thee, especially in the season, the, the season for the remembering of the Nativity of our Lord. And Lord, we do pray we may feel the blessed favour of it, of truly feeling and knowing our interest in thee and all what thou hast come for and all what thou hast done, all what thou hast accomplished and all what thou art involved in now in thy high holy offices in heaven. Lord, oh, we look to thee, our Lord, our God in heaven, our advocate, our mediator, our great high priest. Lord, it is to thee we look, to thee we bow now, to thee for help we call, Lord. Help us, Lord, in this service we may have true worship of thee, our God, and help us that we may be benefited by being together in thy house. And as our friend has prayed before the service, O Lord, do hear his prayer. Oh, we have hope and trust thou wilt so do what he has prayed for in this service, Lord, that we may be blessed and exercised by the Spirit to consider thee our Lord and Saviour. And Lord, thou knowest thy will and purpose for us each. As Lord, as one looks back all those years to that time in Hope Chapel, Stockfold, when the late Mr. Collier came and preached from those words, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Lord, thou knowest how it so has been proved by one, a poor one. But Lord, thou knowest all the trying. And oh, how blessed it is, as in the word it's many times stated, it is so needful. There shall be the trying of your faith, the faith of God's people. And Lord, we know there is great favour by it brought, and God's people are blessed and favoured in the way of the working of the Spirit in them. And so, Lord, we pray here tonight, especially thinking of each one, and though we know not their paths and their cases, Lord, but each has a soul, each is, Lord, a character whom we are concerned for, that thou wilt bless, suit thy blessing to each case, Lord. Oh, we do pray that every one who has a true case may have their cases met by thee. Lord, if there are any here that do not have a case for God, still in the darkness of nature, we pray, Lord, that thy purpose may be brought to be in thy will at the time, even this evening hour, to begin a work of grace in them. Lord, thou knowest thy will. We pray for souls. Do quicken souls and make them cry, "Jesus, save me or I die." Oh, do cause thy work to be begun in them according to thy will. And, oh Lord, there might not be any left to be in unconcern. Oh, those that are, Lord, in a state of nature still, the darkness of nature, oh Lord, oh, do according to thy will quicken into newness of life. We know and believe thou wilt do so in every one of thy dead elect. We pray that these here, any here, might be among them, if it be thy will, manifested by thy beginning the work of grace in them. Oh, Lord, do so work, we pray. We know thou wilt do thy work. We look for thy appearing, Lord, of it. Let thy work appear, we beg. And may everyone here be brought to be concerned, is our heart's desire, about their never-dying souls, and to seek thee, Lord, while thou mayest be found. Thy word is so good. May it be applied. May it be applied by the power of the Spirit to bring any souls into concern who are still in darkness of nature. Oh, Lord, let thy work appear for this. And, Lord, oh, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Oh, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy unto our God. He will abundantly pardon. Some may be in a state where they think they're so bad. Oh, if any are under the law, Lord, and condemned under the law and think they are so bad, they can never be saved. Oh, may that time come, Lord, when they shall be raised to a hope in thy mercy. Do work, Lord. Thou knowest the cases. Thou knowest what is needed. Thou knowest what we each personally need. And Lord, thou knowest all our sin and guilt we feel. Oh, Lord, we confess our sins. We plead for mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Lord, that this was quoted even on Friday evening, we know. Oh, how the sinner, as our friend said, the sinner, not a sinner, but the sinner when it's personally felt. And Lord, do so come then. We beg thee for thy sovereign purpose to do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, this part of thy Zion, this cause of truth, thy people here, do them good, Lord. Oh, may they not lack tonight. We know it was announced as reading services today, as our dear friend is laid low. Lord, thou knowest we feel so insufficient. Lord, let there be some favour felt, Lord, from thyself in precious souls here tonight. Come, Lord, to do them good, we pray. And oh, we pray for our dear friend, who knoweth how for many years we've had a bond of love, and union with him. He used to be our pastor, and was that one, had the favour and privilege, and Lord, baptise my dear one. Thou knowest we bear him before thee, Lord, do raise him up, Lord, as we understand feeling in a low place. Lord, do thou cause him to know that rising up, resurrection power. Oh, that he might be able to preach again and use of thee as he has been so very, very much. And Lord, do continue to use him in thy name and bless him and give him yet more signs following his preaching of the word. And knowest we had the privilege of being under him as pastor those years, Lord. And Lord, we bow to thy will where thou hast led him now. And Lord, we pray for them and his people that they would go on to work and bless souls there as thou hast done. And Lord, continue with us in our little cause and favour us. Thou knowest we've had, even since this pastorate, we've had the two dear souls come forward and have followed thee in thy ways. Lord, thou knowest all things of thy will and purpose and for thy people here. And Lord, yet they might be favoured with a pastor here. Oh, Lord, as it may be, even to raise one up from among them, if it be thy will, thou knowest we would not wrongly speculate. But, Lord, do so work and bless the friends here and the cause of truth here. And, Lord, the little ones, the children, oh, we feel so greatly humbled, as we mentioned recently, Lord, that as we took the Sabbath school those years ago, over 30 years ago, and some of the dear young ones that were then are now members of the church here. There thou hast worked, Lord, and thou hast said, I will work and who shall let it? And Lord, we look for more. We are covetous, Lord, for the best things. We pray for more. Oh, do so. Let thy work appear, Lord. Oh, may precious souls be blessed, favoured, and the purpose of it all may be to the honour and glory of our God. Oh, not unto us, Lord, but unto thy name give glory. We would give glory, Lord. Do help us that we might give thee all the glory. For thy word is clear, all the glory shall be thine. And Lord, as we know, even from the first commandment, thou shalt have no other God beside me. And Lord, how we have to confess We have little gods, little g gods, the little g god of self. Oh, how we know pride, self, it all must be brought down, Lord, that we may praise thee, our triune God. So help us, Lord, we beg. Help us, bless us, keep us. Lord, help us in things we seek to consider tonight of the truth of thy word. May thy word run and have free course and be glorified as it was on Friday evening, we believe. We did feel it, Lord, so. And Lord, we pray thus thou wilt help us each, and at this season of the year we may be blessed to especially consider thee. We might not be caught up by the natural trappings of the time, Lord, of the things of tinsel grandeur, nothing of that, Lord. We know they are those things, Lord, if rightly kept and used, but in a moderation, Lord, thou knowest. We do pray for grace. Oh, we pray we might be humbled, we might be sanctified, we might be solemnized at this time, that we may consider thee our Saviour, our dear Redeemer, our Lord, who is, we hope we can say, our Lord and our life and our all. Lord, we do pray we may be sincere in humble acknowledgement of thy wonderful love and mercy, thy condescension, that there it is come and stooped down to this lower world, that there might is enter into all what was appointed thee to undertake. Thou didst undertake our cause, Lord, in that way, the cause of the whole Church of God, in thy walk on earth, thy humiliation. Oh, in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Oh, the deep things of thy sufferings, thy agonies in Gethsemane and at Calvary, and bearing the curse. Oh, the wonder of it, Lord. This was such a, it was thy work and purpose to come, dear Lord, our God and Saviour. And praise to thee, O God, our Heavenly Father, for the gift of thy dear Son, and the Blessed Spirit's wonderful way of making love divinely known in the Church of God in precious souls. So, Lord, do come tonight and help us to worship thee, our God. Lord, we remember this time our country and our rulers, our King. We pray for them, Lord. Thou wilt give them the wisdom they need. Oh, thou wilt bless them with thy grace, if it could please thee. Lord, they each have a never-dying soul. And Lord, we're living in most solemn times. And Lord, there are so many sad things as relating to our land and how we've been governed these years and what has been brought in of sad inroads of Satan so much. We've sown to the wind and we're reaping the whirlwind. It is a very difficult time, a troublous time. And Lord, so much of trouble in the way of the economy of our land, and Lord, in the countries of the world, and how thy judgments do strike us with awe. Lord, thou knowest we tremble before thee, our God, but thou art God, and dost reign omnipotent o'er the whole world, and so we would not be in terrible fear, Lord, like many are. Oh, we pray we may live by faith, and so praying for our rulers, our Prime Minister, though he is not of our religion, Lord, we are still exhorted to pray for him, and we pray he may be able to govern with integrity and in honesty of purpose, Lord. Oh, could it please thee to change his heart? Wonderful that would be, but Lord, thou knowest. We pray that he may be given that wisdom, natural wisdom that he needs. And our King, His Majesty the King, Lord, we know it's sad his dear mother, our gracious king. We had 70 years. We trusted she was a gracious queen, on our throne 70 years. And we know, following her father who came to the throne because of the abdication of his brother, which was because of he would marry a divorced lady. But now we have a divorcee as king. Oh, we are saddened at this. But Lord, still we are exhorted to pray for him. Although he lives with another man's wife, sadly we feel it. But Lord, thou knowest, we would, in humility before thee, bearing to this the days we're in, under thy holy supreme rule, thou great God, we pray to help our King, Lord, that he may be truly defender of the faith and not of other faiths. Lord, thou knowest all these things are anxious concerns for us. We pray, Lord, in this way. May we have the spirit to pray and to beg and seek that we need for our homeland, England. Lord, we remember all friends in affliction, especially thinking of a young man who suffered a serious injury recently, some weeks ago. Oh, do spare his leg, Lord. Oh, do heal him, Lord. We pray and provide for him and bless him in his soul. Oh, this is the thing of the reality of thy purposes, Lord, for thy people. If we be truly thy people, thou wilt sanctify us in a way to teach us, to prepare us, that we may be saved and blessed and taken home at last. We pray, especially in all these things of trial and tribulation, they may be in that way, as the word states, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and hope maketh hope, maketh not experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because, may it be that wonderful because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Hear my poor prayers, Lord. Help us each, and may it be in this service all to the glory of our God. We beg for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 95. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? Hymn 95.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you to the words we've read in the second chapter in the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, the verse 4. That is the first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. It seems so much I'm led to this, friends, this evening. It will be, I hope, the gospel that we preach. But of course, it is the way of the Spirit to lead and to give the word in very many different ways. And to me tonight, it's come like this. Well, I say tonight, we've had ponderings on it yesterday late in the evening, and the Lord knows how we've been led today in preaching at Ashwell. But for this evening hour, among you here, especially that word we've read in Job, I want to keep upon our minds and spirits, if God will help us. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, you bear with me for a personal note upon it, which I believe will be of profit. You see, it was 1962. I'd been called by grace in 1958 and had been under the law for some while, but then raised to a hope and had the favour of being blessed with some tokens of God's love. And on a Wednesday evening, Mr. Collier came to preach at Hope Stopfold, and his text was, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, I have to say, friends, I didn't understand the trying, what the trying would be, in that the message was sweet to me, but he knoweth the way that I take. But the second part was not so clear. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And yet, there seemed to be such a wonderful encouragement in the prospect of coming forth as gold, if that was true concerning me. Is the one here tonight? You're in this. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Are you in this, in your life, your experience, your pathway? You see, it's faith given in exercise. It was to Job. You know his deep path, the deep sorrows he was in, the troubles with the discourse among those friends that were miserable comforters to him. His path was hard, it was deep, it was solemn. But there, like as in the 19th chapter, he rises to a wonderful, good measure of faith, and he says, but I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then he goes down again, and there are the many ups and downs of his feelings, and his stating of it. His path is hard. His path is dark at times. It's very dark. It's very painful. But it comes to this. What a wonderful word to speak in a way, to testify, to make it known to others. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, really, you see, the apostle here in this word we've named as a text, he speaks of this God which trieth the hearts. You know, if you're a true born child of God, you'll know something of God which trieth the hearts, his dealings with you, his working in you, his teaching you. Oh, you'll know this. It's part, a deep part, a blessed part, a wonderful part of experience. Oh God, which trieth our hearts. And there's need for it, friends. We need to be tried. Grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. God, which trieth our hearts. We will hope to, as it were, step back as we go on to the gospel which is named here. But as we consider this now, see with me, I would say it very carefully. God gave that word. It was so blessed. But what was his purpose in it all? To bring us forth his gold. And I don't boast to be gold in a way of such a splendour, but you know, it was for the ministry. It was for the ministry. He was trying me. And he dealt with me and led me in depths for the ministry of the word. He's the one here. He's doing this with you. You're in it. The reality of it. Oh, the time will come when you shall come forth as gold, not to be admired yourself, but to have the gospel, to preach it to sinners, and to be the means in God's hand of the blessing of souls. This was what it was. And I want to be careful not to in any way give any inkling of praise to the flesh. Nothing to the flesh, friends. It's what God does. And that we preach the gospel with the grace of God. Like these apostles were favoured, though we are so small, so poor compared to these great apostles, as indeed Paul was the greatest named as the greatest apostle, we are very, very small. But you know, if God has given us the gospel, it will be command and concern to preach it in love and faithfulness. Oh, the favour of so being in such a place, and yet it is a holy high calling, like we read on the notice in Lakenheath Chapel as regarding preaching and the pulpit. No place affords such great honour or such great disgrace. And what is in ministers' employ is named in that, what is on the wall there. And friends, the favour then, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust of the gospel, even so we speak. We speak the gospel. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. And it is really, it all dovetails in with what we've been trying to preach today at Ashwell. My meditation of him shall be sweet. Him who is the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, the Saviour of the lost. And as we come to this season of the year, as we sing it, lost souls to recover and form them afresh. Our wonderful lover took flesh of our flesh from sin to release us, that yoke so long worn. Are you a sinner who needs that release? Are you a guilty soul under condemnation of the law? Have you been under it? Is it your concern to be made right and kept right before God for eternity? Are you a needy sinner? None a saviour? More could need. Deeds of righteousness I've none. No, not one good work to plead. Oh, are you such? And so, friends, are you in the trials? Are you passing through tribulation? Is this life and your pathway through it a veil of tears? Is it your concern to be made right and kept right by God? Save me, O God, my spirit cries. Is this your cry? Is this your need? The gospel of the grace of God. We read this afternoon Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace. Oh, and that can be applied to John the Baptist, of course, but in the highest sense, it should be applied to the Son of God. Oh, his walking this earth, his going swift as the sparrow's desires in the song. Go be there as a roe, a young hart upon the mountains of Bether, from Bethlehem to Calvary. Oh, the favour of by faith beholding the Lord in his walk on earth, going toward Jerusalem, with his face set as a flint toward Jerusalem, there to suffer, bleed and die in his people's room, place and stead. Oh, friends, may we have at this season especially not just the favour of going by faith to Bethlehem's manger, but also to Calvary, to see that scene of matchless grace, Jesus in the sinner's place, heaven's brightest glory sunk in shame, that rebels might revere his name, the gospel, good news of salvation for sinners. Aren't there a sinner who needs salvation? Let me ask you another question. Is Christ very much needful to you? Is he precious? Is he your only hope? Has the Spirit shown you what you are as a wretched sinner? Has he shown you wonderfully the way of salvation, which is in that way by divine substitution that the Son of God has come to take all the blame upon himself and suffer all the punishment himself for the Church of God? Did the holy and the just, the sovereign Lord on high, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise? And can we say it truthfully, knowing it ourselves? Yes, the dear Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. He took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead for man. A miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Was it for me, friends? Is that your prayer? Is that your question that you need the Lord to answer? Did he come for me? Did he suffer in my room, place and stead? Did he bear my sins in his own body on the tree? The gospel of the grace of God says it's for the worst of sinners he came. He came for the vilest, some of the vilest of the human race, Mary and the Manasseh, and sins more vile than they. Oh, friends, if you're a sinner and feel it, the gospel will be good for you. Oh, it will be wonderful to you. But oh, how is it that God so blesses souls? He favours them to become believers. Aren't they a believer? We believe in under the law. We will be made to believe we justly deserve to be condemned and cast into hell. The law does condemn us, but the law will wonderfully be for God's people their schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. You solemnly have to know, under the condemnation of the law, there is no hope for you. No hope, no way can you save yourself or anyone save you but Christ the Lamb. Oh, it will be by the Spirit that you're led to Christ. You need him. He's so needful. He's the wonderful Saviour. We read it this morning. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is he wonderful to you? Is he wonderful to me? He will be called this in the Church of God, Wonderful. That was the word that J.S. Green preached the very evening God had appointed to set me at Gospel Liberty. all those years back in 1964. Oh, he is a wonderful Saviour. He is so wonderful. He's all glorious. Oh, dear, what's in his first hymn? He says, "Behold the glories of the Lamb," and how can we? We will by faith, as God gives faith, as he reveals a precious Christ, as he favours those he loves with what they need, his faith, the eye of faith to behold the Lamb of God, the Saviour of sinners, the gospel. This is simply the theme tonight, really, and the way God works in his people, what he does, and also, of course, what he has done in this poor character who stands before you, and what he will be doing in you, and anyone here who has, in God's will, that work to come into when it is his perfect time to preach the gospel. He'll make you ready, poor soul. He'll prepare you. He'll give you what you need. He'll sanctify you. He'll bless you. He'll deal with you, teaching you, well, grounding you in the truth, that you will have the gospel, the true, blessed gospel of the grace of God, to preach it to sinners. And what a favour it is, especially when he blesses souls and they are favoured, and you see the signs following. It will humble you greatly. It will humble you in the dust to think that such a one as you. See, Paul, the great apostle, he's always acknowledging how, under the grace of God, he's blessed. It's not him. He would ever claim it, acknowledge it. It's not unto him himself, like the psalmist. It is to God. He desires the glory. And so wonderfully God used him. But friends, the word as it is, but as we were allowed of God, in the sovereign will of God, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. Maybe tonight I'm not pleasing some of you. I hope I'm not, if you're not in a gracious exercise, if you have any kind of criticism of the gospel, that will be very sad. If you go on in that all your life, you'll be lost, you'll be in hell. Oh, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. We need to be saved, friends. And I know this, we cannot be saved before we're lost. If you feel to be lost, there will be, in God's time, good evidence that you're not lost. But friends, the solemn other side, if we're completely indifferent and just do not want to know and just cannot at all listen to anything of the preaching of the word, like we are by nature, in that state, you're going on toward the pit. If God's grace prevent not, you will go and be found in the pit at last, in hell. I have to say it. But those God loves, he begins to deal with. And he makes them to know what sinners they are. He brings them to know very solemnly that which is so much weighted upon them, their guilt on their conscience. They're made to feel to be wretched, hell-deserving sinners. But oh, sinner, sinners can sigh, and none but they. How precious is the Saviour. And I put it to you like this, if you're really feeling your sins, is this a reality too? Christ is precious because you need a Saviour. You need salvation. And the gospel theme is good news of salvation through Jesus the Lamb. And he will be very precious. He will become, under the teaching of the Spirit, the one thing needful. He really, truly, surely will be the one thing needful for you. Is he? Is he the one thing needful? Is he that one, truly that one, upon whom your hopes of heavenly pain, well, there's good evidence that God's working in you to teach you if that is so. And I believe he will go on to be gracious in you, and he'll favour you to come into the things of the wonderful liberty of the gospel in his time, to know and believe and to have joy and peace in believing in Jesus, the Son of God, for he's done everything, friends. I thought of it like this: my meditation of him shall be sweet, of him in the manger. See, in the manger, the Ancient of Days, then of him walking this earth, going about doing good. And what was he doing while he was going about doing good? He was keeping the whole law of God. He was making it honourable on his people's behalf. He was, as it were, weaving that garment of righteousness for the church. He was doing everything pleasing his Father. I do always the thing that pleased my Father, and he was doing it for the church. He was walking this earth and performing miracles, and the witness was how he was the Saviour, the Redeemer, saving people from their sins. And under this way, for sin is the cause of all the woe the world has ever known, and all those afflictions, afflicted people, they were in such a state because the fall of mankind. And you, in your affliction, your trials, your troubles, it's all as we are mortal, and in that way, as we inherit the fall, subjects of the fall. But the Lord has purposed to save us from all that came in by the fall, to save us from sin and death and hell and unto heaven. And so the gospel, you know, sometimes you get very, very low, perhaps you feel hopeless and helpless. But can you say, even in low times, I have been able to, I hope I can still, the gospel bears my spirit up. The faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation of my hope in oaths and promises and blood. Good hope through grace, the favour of knowing Jesus Christ, the Saviour of sinners, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the favour, the gospel message is, he saves his people, he saves from hell. He saves from sin and death and hell. By his sacrifice, he has saved the church. And so, favour indeed to be meditating upon him, hearing his voice by the Spirit of God, knowing, seeing his face by faith, the favour of all that is in the gospel, the grace of God, free grace to every heaven-born soul, will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. Do you adore the Lamb? Do you see him as altogether lovely? Are you able to answer like the spouse when the daughters of Jerusalem said, "What is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy answer?" My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000, he altogether lovely. Tried to speak recently, his mouth is most sweet when he communicates to his people, when he speaks, when he, by the Spirit, conveys the blessings of his love and grace to his people. It's all what he has done, friends. It's all what he has accomplished. It's his life, his death, his glorious resurrection. And too, we must ever remember, and we will want to, we need to, that is what he's involved in now in heaven, in the court of heaven, for good for his people. And he there lives, no more to die, lives the Lord. enthroned on high. Your Lord, your Saviour, He is so needful. He is needful in all stations, while in Meshach I reside. But friends, we were trying to preach this afternoon, especially upon what He come for and what He entered into and how He suffered the just for the unjust to bring His people to God. The favour will be given you by blessed meditation upon Him. The Holy Spirit revealing Him, revealing Christ to you, giving you a faith view of Him, to so see Him in your wretched place, suffering in your place. Oh, in that way, suffering, bleeding, dying, in your ruined place instead. Your salvation is, like every child of God, the same. By divine substitution, your dear Saviour, dear Redeemer, took your place, took my place, I hope I can say, and suffered in my stead. He suffered in our stead for man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Oh, to see Him by faith at this season, friends. This will be an indeed blessing above anything you may have of anything of natural things. Not that it's wrong giving presents one to another, but oh, He is the best of blessings. He's the best beloved, like we've been singing. His love, His blessed person. Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God, the Saviour, the Redeemer. Oh, how precious He is. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners. We have such to Thee draw near. Yes, He's precious, exceedingly precious. More precious far than life and all its comforts are. Gospel of the grace of God. But oh yes, the things that are so much to be experienced, to bring us into the favours of experiencing and knowing and tasting His love. Yes, we have to be tried. Faith. God gives His people faith to believe. But faith and grace, though the smallest, shall surely be tried. And if He's trying your faith, He tries and he tries and tests His people to make better known His purpose and His love to them. How they are so precious to God. Do you realise it? Has God shown you it? How deeply humbling it is when we are given to know it, that we are precious to God. God's people are precious to Him because He's chosen them ere time began, and He's bought them with a price. They're so precious to Him, and this is why He'll never lose one, never lose one of His people, because they are so precious to Him. And it's the precious Saviour that He is made to be to His people who saves, so that the Lord God Almighty will never lose one of His people. He saves His people. He saves them with an everlasting salvation. The words I was led to also pondering today in Luke chapter 19, where it speaks of how Christ came, what He came for. He came here to save the church. He came to redeem the church. And He's done it, friends. He's done it. You know, there's a sweet acknowledgement after one of the miracles in the Word by the people that were there, present at that, to witness the miracles he was performing. He hath done all things well. Friends, can you say that? Is that what you must say? What I must say? He hath done all things well. In what He's done in us, what He's done in working in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. but more than that, what he's done in redeeming us, in saving us. Oh, how sweet is the theme, acknowledging Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, this is how you will be made fit for heaven, friends. How you will be accepted by God the Father in his beloved Son is in the favour of redemption granted, because he suffered, he's paid the price for your sin. He's redeemed you to God, redeemed the church to God by his sacrifice, his full payment, absolving all the debt of the church that they owe to God, which they can never pay. Oh, we're all insolvents. We're all pure insolvents. We cannot pay. But he paid the price for sin. He paid it completely by redeeming the church. And the price is holy blood that he shed, which ran from hands and feet and side. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. This is the gospel, the grace of God. And it's so wonderfully free, fully free, to the vilest of sinners. It's so precious to us because it holds for salvation, so perfectly free. Free grace to every heaven-born soul, heaven-born. Born again on earth, heaven born, heaven the prospect, glory, eternal glory, eternal bliss, the prospect to these redeemed souls, all in that wonderful way brought to be in the favour of it through that full redemption Christ has brought in for the church of God. Are you in the secret of it, friends? You know, as I made known this morning preaching, I won't speak the name tonight, but making known in preaching this morning, as one dear friend we had who's now in glory, in his early days after coming out of the war and beginning to farm near Trowbridge, he was sitting in Trowbridge Chapel one day, and it come over him that he was worshipping an unknown God. You know, it's a very solemn thing to be worshipping an unknown God, or thinking we're worshipping God, and that God is an unknown God. If you, any one of you, and I have to say it in love and faithfulness, if any one of you come to this chapel and sit in your seat all your days, worshipping an unknown God, you're going to be found in hell at last. But may God show you, like he did my late dear friend, may God show you that you're worshipping an unknown God. I have to preach these things in love and faithfulness. And if you are shown that, you will be brought into concern. You will have to begin to pray. And you will have to begin to seek God, the true and living God. God will cause you to be in soul trouble. And if you're in soul trouble, you need to come into confession of sin, and feeling your sin and guilt and soul trouble, the troubles of your heart and soul, because you're in a place of solemn state before a holy God. And a holy God who searcheth the hearts and trieth the reins of the children of men will so search you and make you know that you are such a wretched sinner, like our friend named the sinner. That's how he put it on Friday, the sinner. And you know, if you're built to be feeling the sinner, all you can do is cry for mercy. But it's a wonderful thing that you can cry for mercy. And as you cry for mercy, I hope I can say properly, rightly, I mercy sought and I mercy found by the favour and grace of God, And that mercy is, those mercies are in Jesus Christ, the Saviour. Mercy in Jesus that exempts us from hell. His wonders I see, his glories I tell, his free grace alone from the first to the last. I hope I can say it truly, sincerely, has won my affection and bound my soul fast. And the favour of having our affections centred upon Christ. And he revealed, and he's so precious, he the altogether lovely, he the chiefest among 10,000. And you will be able to say, and some of you have been so blessed to be able to say it and testified it in the church. Others, there are that have not yet. But oh, you'll say, this is my beloved. This is my friend. Oh, ye daughters of Jerusalem, others who are interested, but not as keenly exercised perhaps, but interested. May that interest become urgent, a real concern. Oh, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? But then you can say, my beloved is white and ruddy. He is. He's so holy, so blessed, so adorable. Oh, all over glorious is the Lord. He is to his people. So, friends, well, it's been rambling preaching to you, but I hope there's something that the Lord has given and used, and we pray we may be blessed at this season, going on toward the season of the year next Lord's Day. I hope to be with you. Oh, feeling so pure, we shall be, I hope, begging for that word for the Lord to give us to bring to you. And may we be blessed as we meet. And may you be favoured too on Tuesday, I think it is, the Lord's dear servant coming again to you. Oh, he is in a blessed exercise. We really felt it on Friday. May it be so on Tuesday too. And may the Lord continue with you and give you further favours here. That's my heart's desire and prayer, that you might be so wonderfully favoured yet more, and in his time have a dear pastor to preach to you, if it be his holy will. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Pickett is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and our friend Mr. Chapman again next Lord's Day. Let us sing hymn 205. Jesus is our great salvation, worthy of our best esteem. He has saved his favourite nation. Join to sing aloud of him. He has saved us. Christ alone could us redeem. Hymn 205.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything amiss in our service, especially the poor preacher's words. O Lord, blot out anything that is not in thy approval, Lord, we beg. Bless thy word, bless thy people. Continue with them here, Lord, we pray, especially favour them on Tuesday. We know if one should be preaching at Ashwell that night, we pray for our friends here and wherever thy people meet. And so, Lord, continue with us each and lead us on in the way. Lead us in the way everlasting, we beg. Help us, Lord, that we may live to thy praise. O Lord, to begin the lasting song here in the time's sake, to sing it forever in heaven, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us now and evermore. Amen.